Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord replied to His mother, "Why did you conceal self-realization by not teaching me this practical philosophy in the beginning?" Purport. If one is taught from the beginning of life the Vaishnava philosophy of duality or variety, the monistic philosophy will not very much bother him. In reality, everything is an emanation from the Supreme Source, Janmadasya Yataha. This original energy is exhibited in varieties, exactly like the sunshine, the original energy emanating from the sun, which acts as light and heat in variety. One cannot say that light is heat and heat is light. Yet, one cannot separate one from the other. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is achintya bheda bheda, inconceivable non-separation and distinction. Although there is an affinity between the two physical manifestations, light and heat, there is a difference between them. Similarly, although the whole cosmic manifestation is the Lord's energy, the energy is nevertheless exhibited in varieties of manifestations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So here, just to recap what's happening. So as you all know, because you have been following this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, little Nimai, he is there and his mother gives him some food, especially prasad, rice and some sweets. And he takes that, but he decides to teach us the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda, especially as opposed to Mayavad. And he uses this small minor incident to teach us what Mayavad is and what our philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is. So he asks his mother, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hides and he starts eating dirt. And his mother catches him and she says, why are you eating dirt? You know, I've given you prasadam. And he says, what's the difference between both? It's all one. That's the Mayavad philosophy, that it's all one. Everything is one. We have this Gurudas, I think, when he was in Vrindavan, Gurudas Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he met Mayavadis and, they were telling him it's all one. So I think he happened to take rest with some of them, and it was cold in Vrindavan, and he was sharing this chadar with this Mayavadi, and he started pulling the chadar, and the Mayavadi said, hey, what are you doing? You know, we have to share this. But he said, it's all one, whether I have it or you have it. It doesn't make a difference. So let me have it like that. And then he came and told this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very pleased with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching that, it's all one, that philosophy doesn't work. Because Sachimata later tells him that, from the earth we get grains. And when we get grains, that nourishes us. But if we eat dirt, that destroys us. From the earth comes the pot. And we can put water in the pot and drink it. But if we put water on the earth, it'll simply soak it and we won't get the water. So he kills this it's all one philosophy and instead replaces it with achinta bheda bheda. Like his mother says, that the grains may come from the earth, but it's a transformed energy and it's for a different use, like that. So, these philosophies are there. We have our Achintya Bheda Bheda. Krishna, he started this by when he saw Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki Jai, Shri La Prabhupada ki Jai. So, Krishna comes as Lord Buddha when he sees indiscriminate killing. Buddha came 567 years before Christ, Jesus Christ came. So nearly 2,600 years ago. Buddha came to establish, non-violence, ahimsa. And he gave the eightfold path, basically to stop violence. And he said, don't follow the Vedas. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he still preaches us, he preached to us that Vedana Janya Buddha Hailo Nastik. That because the Buddhists, they don't follow the Vedas, they are as good as atheists. Because all Sanatan Dharma is situated based on the Vedic knowledge, like that. So Buddha came for that, but Krishna, timely intervention. Buddha is his incarnation. Keshavidrita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagdisha Hare. So he comes to stop people from killing mercilessly, killing animals and eating them. And he manages to stop there. And we know the influence. It spread everywhere, Buddhism, all over the world. Emperor Ashoka was there at the time. He was the king of vast areas of India and Afghanistan, Middle East as well. And he realized the fruitlessness of war. And in that state, he took to Buddhism. And then he spread it to Southeast Asia first. Java, Sumatra, Borneo, which is now Indonesia and Malaysia and all that. And then to Japan, China, everywhere like that. So Buddhism was there, it came. And then Krishna, then thought that people are, they are becoming Buddhist, but still remaining out of the paradigm of Vedic knowledge. And so Krishna comes as, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, comes as an incarnation of Lord Shiva. Adi Shankaracharya was born in Kerala, the southern tip of India. Son of Brahmins and scholarly. And he basically established the paradigm of Mayavad. And his philosophy was that Brahman is everything. It is also called Advaitavad, non-dualism. So he established that Brahman is everything. Everything is emanation from Brahman, and everything is therefore one. Like that. Even though privately, as Prabhupada points out, you know, rightly, he always said, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam, mudamate. You know, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. Oh, you fool. Mudamate, one with a foolish mind. So, but he was doing his job, so he preached Mayavad. Now, the paradigm of Mayavad is that this is in all Upanishads also. They distinguish the world between Jagdish, Jagad Isha, which is the controller of the universe, Jagdish, and then Jagat and Jiva. And Jagat is the whole material paradigm, material worlds, various worlds, universes in the material world. And then Jiva, which is all the living entities. And they say that when Brahman was, you know, created the mode of ignorance, then at the same time through that, he created the Jagat, the world. Yeah, the energy of Prakriti. He created the world. And when Brahman created the mode of passion, then he created the jivas. And when Brahman created the mode of sattvagun, goodness, then he came as the Lord. So the Lord Krishna is no one but someone who is in the mode of goodness. Now, we know that that is not true, because we always refer to even Vishnu, who are expansions of Krishna, as Vishuddha Sattva. This is a mode of goodness that is not tainted at all by the modes of passion and ignorance. It is pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. So even Vishnu is Vishuddha Sattva. So this can't be right. And then it is given in the, you know, in the scriptures that the Lord, he creates the creation by glancing over the Mahatattva. So the Lord has a personal form. He has eyes to glance over. That's one aspect of it. Secondly, when the Lord, you know, looks at the Mahatattva and activates it, you know, the Mahatattva is a creation of the Lord. And if the Mayavadis say that the Jagadish, he is a creation of Brahman, you know, then how can the Lord be created by something that he creates by glancing over? So that's not, it is not in line with the Vedic scriptures. So that's also wrong. So, and we can see that throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refutes this Mayavad. He says that ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ajopi san. Then what is it? Yeah, so sam adishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. So he says that even though that it seems as if, you know, Krishna is eternal, he says, there's no beginning for him. And avyayatma, he is living eternally, but it seems as if he's coming from the spiritual world, but he comes of his own accord, sambhavatmi atma mayaya. He has his energy. So we have our energy, and we are doing little things, you know, in our own paradigm. But the Lord is so powerful that he comes to the material world by his own energy. So he doesn't depend on anyone. And therefore, you know, we have to give him that position that he is above. The previous example as well, he is the creator by glancing of the material energy. So he is the creator of material energy and therefore above material energy. And he has energies, diverse energies, which are all different from him. Secondly, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidashti dharanjaya. That there is no truth superior to me, O Arjuna. Everything is hanging, you know, like pearls on a thread in a necklace. So, Krishna is explaining that no one is asamurdhva. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone higher than him. So again, the Mayavad philosophy of Jagdish being a creation of Brahman is not valid. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Krishna says, that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. And therefore, you know, the Brahman comes from me. The Brahman operates from me. Maya dekshana prakriti suate sa characharam. Hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So, Krishna explains that this material energy works under my direction. But everyone is bewildered because they don't know what's happening. And he also says that ye yathamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyam. So Prabhupada many times said that if we look at the scriptures, then we'll find scriptures are a reflection of who we are. We'll find whatever we want in the scriptures. Consequently, when Shankaracharya came, he divided all the scriptures, especially the verses, into Mahavakyas and Laghu Vakyas. So, Mahavakyas were those, he said, we have to give importance to them. And Laghu Vakyas, we don't have to bother with them. So, he gave importance to, because the scriptures have personal and impersonal aspects. Yeah? He gave importance to the impersonal aspects. Saying that everything is one. So qualitatively we are one with God. And yes, we have to use bhakti also. We have to worship the demigods and worship God. But only till such time as we become God. Once we become God, we don't have to worship God. So that was his philosophy. So bhakti is to be used to become equal or greater than God. So that we can leave God alone. So, those Mahavakyas he chose, all the impersonalist verses in the Vedic scriptures, he chose to be Mahavakyas. And then Laghu Vakyas, he chose all the other, mostly the bhakti, worship, verses that concerned worship of the Lord. So, Shankaracharya established that. It was famous all over India. And at that time, India was vast, even in 8th century. So it spread quite to a large parts of the world. Then, that was Shankaracharya in the 8th century. And then in the 10th century, Ramanujacharya appeared. Ramanujacharya, the younger brother of Lord Ram, Ramanuj. And Lakshman comes in the form of an incarnation of Lakshman is Ramanujacharya. He was born in Tamil Nadu, which is again a South Indian state. Kerala is there, Tamil Nadu is just higher than that. And he established his position in Sri Rangam, which even today is the seat of Sri Vaishnavas, the Lakshmi Sampradaya. And Ramanujacharya, again born a Brahmin, and he studied scriptures, and of course, sent by the Lord himself, Lord Krishna. And he said that, no, the Shankarites, the Mayavadis say that Brahman is there, yeah, everything is one, and Brahman has no features, it is nirgun, it is without qualities and it is formless. That is not true. Brahman has form, but there is also a creator of Brahman, and that is Narayan. So, Ramanujacharya established Vishishta Advaitavad. He qualified the Advaitavad given by the monist Mayavadi Shankaracharya, and he brought it to balance. So, he said that yes, there is Narayan, and there is Brahman, and there are Jivas. But it is the duty of the Jiva to worship the Lord. Because qualitatively, they are the same, the Jiva and the Lord. But because of the influence of Prakriti, the Jiva is lost. So he established Vishishta Advaita. And he established the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Ramanujacharya also, at the time, you know, India had this, the caste system was also there. So, it would be nice to share some pastimes. Ramanuja, actually, when he came to Sri Rangam, at that time, Krishna was worshipped there in the form of Lord Varadaraj. And Lord Varadaraj had a very sincere devotee, a humble devotee. His name was Kanchipurna. And his only job was fanning the Lord. That's all. He used to do that simple service. But everyone knew that Kanchipurna was very close to Varadaraj. And actually, those who were intimately connected with Varadaraj and Kanchipurna, they even knew that Kanchipurna spoke to Varadaraj and Varadaraj answered his prayers like that. So, Kanchipurna, Ramanujacharya befriended Kanchipurna, and he wanted to know, you know, devotional service. He wanted good association. So he associated with him. And one day he brought him home, you know, for prasadam. And Kanchipurna belonged to a very low caste. Ramanujacharya's wife was also a Brahmin. And when she saw that my Lord is getting this low caste Brahmana, she told, you know, he said, prepare something for him. And she says, I have already prepared the food and we have offered it to the deities and we have eaten. And whatever was left over, I have given to the maidservants. So there is nothing. So Ramanujacharya was very hurt with this behavior of hers. And then second time he invites Mahapurna, who is like his senior devotee, home. And Mahapurna is also a Brahmin but of a lower caste. So again, you know, at that time, one day, you know, in India we have water is, you know, fetched from one place, the well. And the ladies were there, Mahapurna's wife and Ramanujacharya's wife. And they were both fetching water. And Mahapurna's wife fetched the water in a pot. And then Ramanujacharya's wife also fetched water in another pot. And there was a confusion whose pot was whose. And someone suggested that, why don't you use that pot? And Ramanujacharya's wife said, you know, that I beg forgiveness of all the Vaishnavas. This is nothing to do with, you know, speaking about women. You know, it's on a different... So, this is nothing to do with... I'm not... Prabhupada said, you know, anyone who worships Krishna, you know, they are... You know, what do you call it? Sumedasa. like that. So it just came to mind. So I thought I would beg your pardon for all offenses. So she said, oh, you know, like, that pot was taken by Mahapurna's wife, so I wouldn't touch that pot, like that. So her behavior was like that towards him. So this happens again another time, and then Ramanujacharya disowns her, you know, to take up this path, you know, to fully concentrate on spreading the mission. And then he goes to a place called Melukote, which is in Karnataka. And there he goes into samadhi, he worships the Lord. And then through the power of that, he basically, during that time in South India, they were mostly Shaivites, because the Chola king was ruling at that time. He was a Shaivite. So he saw that Lord Shiva's worship was spread everywhere. But Ramanujacharya, through his preaching, he converts a lot of people to Shaivism. That's becoming a danger to the Chola king. And one day the Chola king decides, enough is enough, I want to kill Ramanujacharya. So he invites Ramanujacharya for a debate. And he knows that whether Ramanujacharya wins or not, he would finish him by some. So one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya, says to Ramanujacharya, in those days there was no, what do you call it, Facebook or social media, or even photographs weren't taken. So even the Chola king didn't know that, you know, who was Ramanujacharya, how did he look like. So his disciple, Kuresh, he says to Ramanujacharya, I'll take your place. I'll go instead of you, because I can sense danger. And all his disciples also tell him that. So Ramanujacharya at last, reluctantly, he gives that instruction to Kuresh. And Kuresh goes and debates on behalf of Ramanujacharya. Now Kuresh is a grihastha, he's a businessman, but he is, you know, totally dedicated to the Lord. So, and being a disciple, taking his blessings, he goes to this Chola king, and he debates with his pandits, and he defeats them. He defeats them, and instead of accepting defeat, the Chola king decides he will punish Kuresh. So they put, you know, fire rods, you know, burnt in fire, into the eyes of Kuresh, and they make him blind. And Kuresh tolerates that, doesn't give up the worship of the Lord or worshipping his guru. And in that condition, you know, he's roaming around in the jungles until someone finds him and then brings him to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya is amazed at his disciples, you know, sacrifice. You know, he can't believe what's happened. And he blesses Kuresh. He says, you know, I wish I could take your place, but it can't be. But I'm sure Varadraj, which is Krishna, must be very happy with you. So Ramanujacharya at that time had disciples like him. And then one day, the mood of Ramanujacharya, one day he comes to know that a guru called Goshtipurna, he has a special mantra. And that mantra can release everyone who chants it, from the bondage of material existence. And so Ramanujacharya goes to Goshtipurna, who lives, you know, quite a few villages away, walks there, and he begs for this mantra to Goshtipurna. And Goshtipurna says, you're not ready yet, so you go. So he goes. He goes, but then he comes again. He does this 17 times. 17 times he goes to Goshtipurna, asks for the mantra, and he gets refused. On the 18th time, you know, when he goes, someone tells him, you know, that, you know, what was the question that Goshtipurna asks you every time you go? Oh, he asks me, you know, who are you? And what do you tell him? So he says, I tell him I am Ramanujacharya. And he says, no, you tell him you are the servant of Varadraj. So he says, okay. So this time he goes. And when Goshtipurna asks him, he says, I am the servant of Varadraj. Goshtipurna is pleased. He gives him the mantra. He gives him the mantra and on one condition, that he should not give this mantra to anyone. Because he says, this is private. I'm giving it to you because you are qualified. But it should not be given to anyone. It should be kept a secret. So Ramanujacharya, you know, he's chanting that mantra in his mind. And that was another thing, to chant the mantra in the mind so that no one can hear him. So Ramanujacharya is making his way towards his own village. And then he's thinking that this is a secret, but it is supposed to give liberation. So, you know, what should I be doing with this? And then he realizes that actually my job, I want each and every living being to be released from the bondage of material existence and to go back home to the spiritual world. And yes, my spiritual master who gave me the mantra said that I'll be cursed. He'll curse me, you know, if I give it to anyone. But he says, even if I am cursed and I have to suffer life after life, sort of in the mood of Vasudev Dutt, you know, what's the problem? So many living entities, they'll get released. So let me, you know, give the mantra to everyone. So he climbs a gopuram, which is a, you know, tall, high seat. And then from there he announces, you know, I'm going to make a very important announcement to everyone who would like to get released from the bondage of material existence. Please come and take this mantra. Chant it and be sincere to chanting it throughout your lives and you'll be released from the bondage of material existence. So people come, people gather and he gives that mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya. He gives to everyone. And everyone is happy. They start chanting. The sincere people already, they are, you know, rolling in ecstasy. They are very happy. And soon Goshtipurna comes to know of it. And he comes there and he says, oh my God, what has he done? He was so qualified. Why could he have done that? So, you know, he asks his disciples to call Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya goes to Goshtipurna. He says, why did you do this? I warned you against it. I also said, I'll be cursing you. So, Ramanujacharya said, you know, you'll curse me. I accept your curse. I'm very sorry, firstly, you know, for going against your instructions. Please forgive me. You know, I pay my humble obeisances to you. But because it was a matter of releasing all the living entities who could chant and hear this mantra, you know, and be sincere to it, I thought it is better to release the living entities and may I suffer. And Goshtipurna at that time, he was shocked that Ramanujacharya, you know, his generosity and his thinking and his mood were, you know, so elevated. So he fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya. He surrendered to him. And he says, actually, you are my guru. So then Ramanujacharya established this Vishishta Advaitavad all over India. And then Madhvacharya came in the 13th century. Madhvacharya was born in a place called Udupi, which is in Karnataka. Again, a little bit north, this thing. And he was also, he's the incarnation of Vayu, the wind god. And Hanuman as well, you know, he was robust in his body as well. And at 8 years, he left his home to go and, you know, realize God. And then he came and he established Dvaitavad He also established the deity of Udupi Krishna, who is worshipped in Udupi even today. Very famous deity, which he got from the sea. It came floating one day. And he took the deity and he established it. So he established Dvaitavad. While Shankaracharya established Mayavad, and that was on one side of the paradigm, saying that everything is Brahman. He said, no, there is complete difference between the Lord and the living entities. So Dvaitavad, that means duality. The Lord is completely different from, even though there is sameness, but the differences are too many. So he established the Dvaitavad. But he also established Bhakti. So therefore, you know, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he is also our Sampradaya Acharya. He established Bhakti as the means of the living entity to worship the Lord and gain liberation. So Madhvacharya, today also, it is known as one of the most, it is known that only one sannyasi fell down from their movement of something like 700 sannyasis. So they are very staunch. But the thing is, they don't go abroad to preach that much. They are still remaining within the shows because they take care that they maintain their purity. Whereas our thing is, you go everywhere. Yare deke tare ka Krishna upadesh, amara agya guru haya taro edesh. Imagine if Prabhupada wouldn't have left the shows of India. You know, where would we all of us be? So, unfortunately, that didn't happen then with the Madhvacharyas. So, but Madhvacharya established Bhakti. And that was the path. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came 500 years ago. So, Dvaitavad, the philosophy concentrated on the differentiation between the Lord and the living entities. But we can become a devotee and achieve the mercy of the Lord by devotional service to Him. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he established this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Bheda means difference. There's a difference between the living entity and the Lord. And Abheda, there is also similarity between the Lord and the living entities. So we'll try to discuss that. So qualitatively, we are one with Krishna because we are part of Krishna. But even that quality, yeah, is very minute. Prabhupada gives a good example, as it is mentioned here, that a molecule that shines in the sun's rays, molecule of the sun's rays, you know, that is completely dependent on the sun. Especially in Britain, we are very much aware of this because we get very little sun. So, you know, when the sun is there, sun is not there, no rays, no molecules like that. So the rays are completely dependent on the sun. So like that, the jiva is completely dependent on the Lord, even the quality. And even in that quality, Rupa Goswami gives that the Lord has 64 qualities. But he gives that to us as an idea. Because the Lord has unlimited qualities. And not only he has unlimited qualities, but they are increasing unlimitedly. So even Krishna, when he looks in the mirror, he's surprised because how good looking he is, because his beauty is increasing all the time. So, and his qualities are increasing all the time. And although his opulences are 6 in number, for the sake of understanding, because by our standards, you know, if someone has, my God, strength, wealth, name, fame, renunciation, wisdom, who's this person? But Krishna has that unlimitedly, and that is increasing unlimitedly. So therefore it is inconceivable. And it is inconceivable because we have to stress on the inconceivability, because sometimes, you know, others think, oh, you made this word inconceivable as a label so that you can tell, oh, you won't understand. These guys won't understand. Only we understand the inconceivability. So it is not escapism from that use that as a label to tell everyone we have the highest philosophy. No. That inconceivability is there because the living entity is completely dependent on the Lord for everything. Even Lord Brahma has just 50 of those qualities. Lord Shiva has 55. Narayan has 60. But Lord Krishna is 64 and unlimitedly. So anyone other than Krishna, they are dependent on Krishna for everything. Just like Prabhupada said, the molecule of the sun ray is dependent on the sun. And even the sun globe is dependent on the sun god. And the sun god is dependent on Krishna. So he gave the hierarchy so that we can understand that why. And the inconceivability can only be pierced or understood when the jiva, who has traces of the 50 qualities, submits himself to the Lord. And therefore, in Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the verse that most resonates with that tattva is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masucha. Because unless we surrender to the Lord completely and get his mercy, that inconceivable will never come within our conception. Only by the Lord's mercy can the inconceivable be conceived. Because, I mean, the thing is, you know, we are born, we are thinking, why am I born a Hindu? Why am I born with a brown color? Why do I have a height of this? You know, why do I have relatives, you know, who are numbered, you know. So why was I born in India? All these things, even ordinary things about us, we can't conceive. We don't know why it has happened. But because, you know, the tendency to lord it over material nature, then we have to play a game. I understand, I know, you know. And we have to tell the world that I know everything, or I know better, or I know about that subject. And in that we forget what we don't know. We usually hide what we don't know. But when we go to the Lord, at least there, if we say, oh Lord, I don't know, I'm completely dependent on you, to know me, to know what is this world, to know what is the reason, you know, what is my nature, how can I serve you? So we can see that the whole process that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all to get the mercy of the Lord. Nothing and nothing and nothing to get the mercy of the Lord. The Tranadapi Sunichena verse, to be humble, is to come to the position that I don't know. Therefore the humility. That I don't know even ordinary things about myself. And I can't even fathom, you know, what is going to happen tomorrow. I'm always worried about it, but I don't know what I can do about it. And there are very limited things I can do about it. So the thing is, I am completely dependent on you. And therefore, I have to be humble, at least in front of you. Or at least in front of your devotees. Because otherwise, I am not going to get your mercy. And at least I have got to, you know, see you in everyone, as you are saying, to never get lost. One who sees me in everyone and everything in me is never lost to me, Krishna says. So when we follow that, what we are just gaining is, every day what we are trying to do is get that mercy from Krishna. So that we can understand ourselves. We can understand him. We can understand the world. We can understand something. We can never become all-knowing. Vasudevam sarvamiti sa matma sudurlabha. We can't even know Krishna. You know. We will always be Anu. Krishna will always be Vibhu. But our lives will be taken care of by that little mercy of Krishna. like that. So that is the Achintya Bheda Tattva. And it answers all questions. You know, why I am different from another human being. Everyone, you know, we seem to be same at the root level of the soul. But then we are all different. Shastras say even a snowflake is different from another snowflake. So there is differentiation. It's all one, philosophy doesn't apply. Everything is different. But we can, and we have our unique position with Krishna. And we can find that unique position. And then by his mercy, and the whole process given by that philosophy of Ajanta Bheda is just to get this mercy of Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions, comments, realizations?